Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a group of five head coaching job, or do you want to wait it out? I mean, he's going to LSU. He's going to make a lot of money to be an offensive coordinator. At 32 years old, I think there's still some time to marinate. But if you're good, you're good. Maybe it doesn't matter how young you are. But he was also the OC and quarterbacks coach at South Florida from 2020 to 2021. So he does have some experience in the American as well.
Yep.
Any opinion on Charlie Weiss Jr.?
Well, I would love to get him in the room and get him interviewed. If he's got a plan, you know, and a nice 2 to 3 year plan for Memphis, and he sees it as the opportunity that I believe it to be.
Right.
The wonderful opportunity, both for individually and just for, you know, growth for this program.
All right, last word on this. We go to Teddy. Teddy, you're on.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I'm going to say Dan Mullen. One, guys, the numbers that you talked about, the buyout, those aren't true. It should be at $4 million. It drops down $1 million every year. And if you went to a non-NFL or Power 5 school, that buyout's only $4 million. But we can't say that this is the most consequential hire of all time. And then we're looking at offensive coordinators. Memphis has missed out so many times with not going big or go home. The money shouldn't be an issue. If you've got hundreds of millions of dollars to get into the Big 12, which this will set you up making the right coach, it does it for you. He's got all the pedigree. He's won at a high level. He won at Mississippi State, which at an unprecedented level. That's the guy that you need. UNLV also, they're on record. This is not like speculation. This is from their athletic director. They don't have the money to pay his contract past the first 2 years. This is on CBS, but it's not some like ho-hum site that's saying this. So they don't have the money, like you guys say. They're paying him with Barry Odom's buyout. So to me, he checks off all the boxes that you need. We can't listen, all these other people, they may be. But if you say that this is the most important part, you go the sure thing. You don't have time to waste. And this will, to me, be a litmus test for the program. Are we actually serious about it? You can't have champagne taste on a grid budget. So that's what I got to say.
Teddy, great call, man. Appreciate that. And you're right. It's $4 million after today. So it's $5 million before December 1st if he takes a non-Power 4 job.
Yep.
And it's $4 million as of tomorrow, which, again, is still a significant amount of money because you're also going to have to give him a raise. He's making $3.5 million, so you're going to have to pay $4 million to buy him out of that, and then you're going to have to pay him more than $3.5 million. I think what he brings up about the money is perhaps a legitimate thing, because if Dan Mullen knows, and if that's true that they're just paying him with Barry Odom's buyout, and he knows that the money is going to eventually dry up, or they're going to, that may expedite his exit, and he may say, listen, I got to just go somewhere where I know that I'm going to get money and it's going to be all good and all that. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But again, can Memphis pay $4.5 million? Are they willing to pay $4.5 million to Dan Mullen and pay the $4 million buyout that they would owe UNLV? If they are, I'm all in. I mean, Dan Mullen's really good. Even at Florida, which he got fired from, go look at what he did at Florida. He was winning 8 games.
Yeah.
He was winning 8-9 games at Florida. It wasn't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. So don't mistake what I'm saying about Dan Mullen as I'm not in favor of it. It's just I don't know if financially they're going to be as motivated as they would need to be to make that happen, you know? I mean, is Dan Mullen, do we think that Dan Mullen is a sure thing? I guess he probably is.
I like his point about having to go what you feel like is the closest thing to a sure thing at this sort of point in Memphis athletics history. And it's me saying that it's your most important hire. And I would double down on that. So I'm with him. And I don't think money should be an object. I would just say Tulane hasn't felt the need to go that route, and they've kept it at a level we're trying to get to,
right,
where through coaches,
right,
they've maintained sort of their top spot as one of the contenders every year. They haven't gone that route. So I'm just saying there are different ways to skin the
absolutely
cat here.
Right. Absolutely right.
That said, if you can get Mullen in the room and work out the money,
mm-hmm,
buyout and everything else, and mm-hmm, what you're going to pay him, absolutely you are having that talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely you're having that
and
talk.
And Dan Mullen,
I still think he sees this that does have the resources, that isn't trying to pay somebody else's buyout,
right,
still sees this as an opportunity. And you know what? They gave Ryan 6 years.
Right.
He never made it. Man, I'll be gone by that time. He would look at this as a step up just in terms of what he can get accomplished.
Right.
That said, like Brad said, he's doing pretty good this year.
He's doing great this year. And, you know, I will say this for Dan. Like, he actually, in that time that he's – I think – I don't know if we brought this up, but it's out there. He came to Memphis on that as one of the ESPN broadcasts. And so he got the tour of the facility.
Yeah, talked about how great it was compared to basically Florida's.
Yeah, he's got that institutional knowledge already. So his opinion of Memphis is more up to date than you would maybe assume that his would be as a former SEC coach, right? He probably, a lot of SEC coaches like, oh, Memphis, you know. No, he knows that they have really upped their game here, and they have, you know, some of the best facilities in the group of five. So again, I'm in. If the money is there for Memphis and they're willing to spend in a way that they never have, I'm in for sure. I think to your point, you could go that route. You could go the promising young OC route. You could go with, nobody called in and mentioned Jerry Mack.
I was waiting on the Jerry Mack submission. I think he's certainly earned an interview and serious consideration based on what he's done, his Memphis ties. Not saying that makes him the candidate, but he absolutely. You win at Kennesaw State.
Right.
You know, you win where this guy has won, what was it before, North Carolina Central.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm, to do it with that little, that tells me, well, he maximizes the investment level you do have.
Nobody called in and said Charles Huff.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Huff's 42 years old. He's down there at Southern Miss. He was winning at Marshall.
Yep.
He's got a ton of experience.
I've talked to both of them.
I think Charles Huff may be my number one.
Retread text from Donnie Mars in Horn Lake. Donnie suggests, now this is a retread, this is not mine. He suggests Malzahn. You guys think retread? Not, don't go that
it's,
route.
It's the same. It's the Freeze, Napier, Malzahn. I just feel like Memphis doesn't have to do, like maybe in 2012 they had to do that.
Yeah.
They had to go give a guy a life raft, you know, if he had failed at the, and you know, just give him a chance to resurrect his career here. But I just don't think they have to do that. I think they can go.
Yeah, I don't. For some whatever reason, I don't put Dan quite in the boat of those. Of
no,
Malzahn and Freeze.
Dan had Mississippi State at number one.
You're right. Yes.
I mean,
that's right.
And again, when you look at what happened at Florida, it seems to be an institutional issue as opposed to an individual issue because nobody's winning at Florida anymore.
Right. But Dan seems to be on the way back up. Whereas those other guys,
totally,
we just
exactly
saw the Malzahn thing play out.
That's
year
right.
At Florida State.
Yes.
I mean, that we thought after the first week, oh boy, he has brought some tough. That thing fizzled.
If you could get Dan, and you take Dan.
Oh, you totally do. But I mean,
It seems like we got some logistical issues there.
Dan Mullen went 34-15 at Florida.
I don't know that we got logistical issues if Memphis is truly ready to be the program that it says it's ready to be.
Right.
That's fair.
You know, you go out and you make that statement. I mean,
I agree with you, by the way.
But didn't Dan Mullen say? This is what he said.
He said, I'm not leaving this year.
He said, I'm not leaving this
year.
Right.
I'm going to stay a year.
Now, that, you know, maybe.
We'll see.
I haven't seen his name connected to any job either.
I was going to say, any.
You know, I haven't
is
seen.
Is that just because people are assuming nobody's going to pay the buyout to get Dan Mullen and get him out? I mean,
Could be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the SEC's like, hey, we've seen Dan Mullen twice. Like, we don't have to pay. We're not going to pay seven. Because if it's a power four, it's $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they could say, hey, we're not going to pay $7 million for it.
To that caller's point, I do feel like Dan Mullen would not miss here with the level of investment. Now, you would probably have him here 2 years tops.
Yep.
And be ready to do it again. But I'm not mad at that either.
But
because
I think
that's what you're eventually going to be and have to be okay with being. That's what Tulane is.
Yes. I think that's what he's doing, though. I think he's going to do one more UNLV and then jump to, like, your SEC, get back.
Yes. And a lot of people are going to – nobody actually said this name, but there was some Arthur Smith – speculation.
Yeah, I heard that one too.
And I would say, respectfully, no thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate all his family has done for the University of Memphis, but did anybody watch the Pittsburgh Steelers play yesterday? He is the OC.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell.
They, I love him to death, but they don't even have a. I mean, Calvin Austin's a three, bro. He's not a two. Like they have serious personnel
they
issues
do.
As well.
They do, but he just hasn't done anything that makes me feel like, oh, he's the guy for the job. Like, you know, wherever he's been, whether it was the head coach with the Falcons, was it the OC with Pittsburgh? Like he really.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I think their money has bought him an interview if he would like to interview.
I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna.
Let you kick in some more NIL.
Love Fred
we'll get
Smith
him in
so much that if Arthur wants to come in for an interview, we will open the doors mm-hmm. to you because, frankly, we wouldn't be sitting in this position if not for your
no,
father.
Right.
And so, absolutely, if you are interested, Arthur, come in.
Yes,
we're gonna supply you with some real players and some receivers and. Yeah, if you're interested, come on in.
There's no quota on interviews. We can interview as many people as you want.
Well, okay. But to your point, I think you made a great point. We don't have a lot of time here, and there are openings still that could compete with, you know, in terms of some of these guys. You know, there are openings that might compete with some of the candidates that you've got for your job. So
I can't call everybody. When
I
look at Charles Huff's resume, this guy feels like the guy to me. Like he took over Marshall and led them to their second victory ever over a top 10 team in Notre Dame, right? Remember when they beat Notre Dame? He was the coach. He takes Southern Miss, and he gets them bowl eligible for the first time in 3 years. And I believe they're playing for the Sun Belt Championship. I could be wrong on that, but I think they're in that championship game. Either way, like that was a job that was in the dumps. And, you know, he's got them back winning. And I just think he's clearly a guy who's done more with less.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. he's young, he's energetic. Mm-hmm. Like, give me the coach who's been an SEC assistant at Mississippi State and Alabama. Give me the coach that's won with less at Marshall. And so, like, his trajectory just feels like it's leading him here. I know Charles Huff knows Memphis. Like, he's been in the SEC. He's been at Vandy. He's been at Tennessee State, Mississippi State, Alabama. Yeah. Like, I just feel like Memphis would fall in love with the guy. He wins as a head coach. This is a step for him because he's climbing that ladder.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like this is a perfect spot for him.
What do you think of a guy like Brennan Marion at Sacramento State?
I have never watched a single snap of Sacramento State
football.
The dude
tore it up at UNLV. He flipped two quarterbacks in and out of there, and he got the head coaching job at Sac State, and he is – pretty dynamic offensive kind of dude. He runs that wild ass, you know, fast offense, up tempo.
It's very hard. It's very hard to do this.
Yeah,
because
it's hard.
When you're doing a group project, everybody's got suggestions.
That's why
right?
we had to keep it limited.
So
Sorry, y'all.
No.
I'm not dismissing him as a candidate.
G.J. Kinney's in there. Yeah.
G.J. I mean, there's a lot of, and again,
texting me like crazy.
You work through this by reaching out to these coaching candidates.
You're right.
Say, hey, are you interested in Memphis? Would it be a move you're looking to make? Some people would use you for leverage. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
And then some people would be legitimately serious. Charles Huff, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This man cannot wait to get out of Hattiesburg. I mean, anybody that lives in Hattiesburg can't wait to get out of Hattiesburg. Now imagine I'm going to give you $10 to $15 million a year in NIL now.
Wow.
Imagine I'm going to take you from making whatever you're making at Southern Miss. I'm going to give you $2.5 million a year, right?
Oh, I like it.
I mean, that's my guy. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't be happy with somebody else, but like that's where I would start. And I would say, Charles Huff, would you like to be the next head coach at the University of Memphis, my man? And we'll go from there.
Yeah. I'm still talking to Stein and Mullen. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking to Huff. Definitely.
Big Huff.
I like you. I like what you're catching him on the way up. Yeah, I can tell you believe in him.
He's making $950 at Southern Miss, so it's an
Oh wow.
So Even if you just got him to $2 million, that's a significant raise, right? Yeah. Like you don't have to break the bank to get him. But even the fact that we're talking about Memphis getting sitting head coaches is significant because there was a time when they could never do that. It was just a non-starter. Like you didn't talk about Dan Mullen, you didn't talk about Charles Huff, you didn't talk about G.J. Kinney, whoever. It's a new day in the city of Memphis. There is no doubt about that.
I will say that I think there's going to be multiple people that can get it done here in the way fans expect in terms of getting to the American Conference Championship game and being close to that college football playoff. There's a bunch of guys out there. You just got to make sure you get one of them.
Yes, exactly.
That's all that matters.
All right. Lots more to come. Have you been following the, the introduction, Silverfield getting off the plane, meeting Cal,
Man, there were some protests yesterday, and it had me asking, like, when was the last time a hire you know, an SEC hire got panned like this. Now, Ryan, you know, he got a whole bunch of money in his bank account, so there ain't no need to feel sorry for him. But
I don't.
You saw fans with bags on their heads saying they didn't want
this. They're going to fire Yurcich. I mean, this guy was already on thin
John's
ice.
Right. I don't think we've seen this in the SEC since Schiano, since that thing got blew up in Tennessee. It's obviously not at that level. Ryan's going to be the coach there. But when's the last time you saw a hire so panned like this one is by the fan base that's bringing the guy in?
Yep.
They're using our stuff, saying, man, look at this guy. They didn't even like him in Memphis.
Right.
I mean, they didn't study this, Jason. They did not research this.
I just think he was – that Arkansas, you know, that he was backed into a corner. It had gone on so long. And everything in the group of five, you know, everything out of the Americans being taken. Whew. And so you think you got Golish, and he bails on you. So the next thing is, I guess, get the guy that beat Golish this year.
Right.
And has 50 wins over the last few years, you know, six years, 50 wins.
Yep.
I can try to sell that. Told you it'd be tough. Told you it'd be tough sell Ryan Silverfield to a fan base.
I'll say this before we go to break on this. I don't think Silverfield will be a disastrous hire at Arkansas. Like, I don't think he will go to Arkansas and go winless. I don't think it will be a hire that people say, oh my God, this is the worst hire in the last 20 years in the SEC. I don't think it will be that level of bad. However, I do think Arkansas is going to find themselves in a situation much like Memphis did, which is where, and again, you're going to have to grade this on a curve because it's in the SEC. So it's not going to be 8-9. It's probably going to be more like 6-7.
Yeah. I see what you did there. I'm on to it now.
But it's like, okay, he's going to win 6 or 7 games a year in the SEC. But he's never going to be in the SEC championship game, and he's never going to do anything other than be in a mediocre bowl. So what do you do with that?
And he's not a good old boy. Like, that's the pat on the back kind of guy that's even, hey, even when you're criticizing me a little bit, I'll still come and chum you up.
Yep.
Ryan doesn't do that. Like, it starts great, but the moment he's not doing that job, like John just said, that's likely going to happen. You ain't really moving the meter because you ain't getting big wins, and those folks turn on you. You still got to go in that room and face them. Ryan doesn't want to do that part of the job. We've seen that. And so that's what I'm saying. Yep. That's what maybe more so than the wins and anything else is he ain't that sort of dude.
Right.
That good old boy that works down there.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to get this.
He's
going
to have
chest.
To change when it comes to that.
And you know what? The SEC and that salary has a funny way of doing that, right? He will be a different person when he takes that job than he was here.
And he's capable of flipping.
There's no question.
Lord knows. We've seen it.
I don't want to rip the guy on the way out. I truly don't. But I will say this. His biggest failing... And there were many. His biggest failing was his taking a program that had previously been operated with transparency and accessibility and openness under Mike Norvell. He took that job and he closed it off. You guys know this. Ryan Silverfield hasn't been on this show in probably 2 to 3 years. And it was made abundantly clear that, you know, that was just going to be the way it is. He went on with Gabe. Starting this season weekly. I think he had another appointment on a different radio station. But the point is that he only did what he absolutely felt like he had to do. Otherwise, like, you weren't going to hear from him. And this is a program that absolutely demands being opened. It demands transparency because Memphis football, Jason, as you know this, and maybe the worm has turned a little bit, but it's fighting for its relevance every single day, even in this city with Grizzlies and Tiger basketball. Yep. You have to be and keep, and this is what Norvell was great at. Mike Norvell, bro, I could text Mike Norvell on a Monday morning after a week and say, hey, are you available? And he would do it at the drop of a hat because he got it. He understood how important it was to beat the drum. And everybody at Memphis was going to look around and they were going to see these crowds dwindling and they were going to wonder, well, man, what's going on? Why are people not coming to the games? Because Ryan Silverfield took his program and he stopped reaching out. That's the reality of it. And so I think the most important thing for the next hire that Memphis makes, whoever it is, reach out. Keep your arms open, right, for this city, for this community. Yes, that means doing media, even on losing weeks, even when things aren't, even when the media does have critical things to say about you. It's vital for this program. It's critical. And that is where, and he dropped the ball in many ways, but we talk about standard and keep, one of the standards that Mike Norvell set was being accessible and open beyond winning and going to the conference championship game. And that's another way that Ryan Silverfield in his time completely missed the mark. Completely missed the mark. And I think it's so important for the next hire to not do that, to not fall into that trap. Because it's easy. People critical. That's the job, though. You know what I'm saying? It's not personal. It's not like, oh, man, no matter what, you're never going to be enough. You're never going to – all we ever asked was just make the conference championship game, and we would have shut the hell up. I promise you, we would have shut the hell up. But he never did it. He never did it. And he took that personally, and that is what it is. But the next coach has to understand. Reach out to the city, man. It's really, really, really important, especially new stadium renovations. Come on, bro. This is the easiest thing in the world. You know, let people back in. Let people back in. And I'm hopeful that the next coach can do that. We'll talk about it. Lane Kiffin finally made a decision over the weekend.
Yep.
Took a month and a half, and it was ugly. It ended very – maybe it always does. The quote from Greg Murphy was that Lane Kiffin is the only coach who can burn a bridge while still trying to stand on it.
Mm.
That's what an agent told Brett McMurphy. But that's what happened. It got ugly at Ole Miss, and they apparently have a hire. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seemed like they weren't.
Seemed like it's pretty final.
They weren't that proud about it, but they got one. So we'll get into all that and more on the other side. J&J, 90.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, man.
Hey, if your bank isn't doing enough for you, you might ask yourself the question, are they doing anything for me? Well, if they're not doing enough, if they're not doing anything, you need to get over with Leaders Credit Union. Come be a part of the family. What's Leaders? Well, they're not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members. It means it operates for your benefit, unlike a bank that operates for its own. 70,000 plus members in West Tennessee. So when Leaders makes money, it goes back into the credit union, which means better rates for you. And you save while you spend with the Compass Black credit cards. Finally, Christmas time, holiday season. You know everything comes with it. Presents, hosting, Christmas parties. You want to earn while you spend? Open a Compass Black credit card with Leaders Credit Union to enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No annual fees or limits. To learn more, visit leadercu.com/ESPNC, all that they can do for you. Make sure you put that /ESPN on it, leadercu.com. Make sure you visit the website, see all they can do for you. And again, when you mention Leaders, you go on to mention 92.9 FM ESPN. When you go on a Leaders branch, they're going to waive that membership fee for you. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, J&J, on a very busy Monday. Coaching search galore. Jason is in the background playing the violin.
The fiddle, the like fiddle. My man Safitzi.
That's right. Excuse me. It's the fiddle. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks plays
this
it too.
No, this is a Garth Brooks song. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I don't know.
This just play guitar.
It could be a Garth Brooks cover band because I know his music is not commercially licensed everywhere. He's very peculiar about that.
It's funny how all music is sweeter to me today.
That's right. It's the way it works.
Whatever it is.
But very very busy day. Very busy weekend in the world of college football coaching. Let's do the rundown. Yeah, we've talked about it. Ryan Silverfield got the job at Arkansas. He told one of the Arkansas media today. I don't know what show it was. You'll have to forgive me. Oh, let's see. It's Bo Mattingly. Chuck and Bo. We're going to put together one of the best signing classes in Arkansas history, and we're going to be able to do that in a three-day period. I think the fans are going to be blown away. So there you go. Arkansas head coach Ryan Satterfield's promising one of the best signing classes in Arkansas history. He was a good recruiter at Memphis. I'll give him that. He always got pretty talented players at the University of Memphis. So I expect him to get talent. I mean, I really don't think that will be an issue for him at Arkansas. I think the issue is just going to be, as it is here, you're going to go into some games in the SEC where you're even a three-point favorite, you know. And are you going to be able to win those games consistently? Because those are the games that he lost here. And that was really the issue,
right? Yeah, I mean, that it's the one thing. I mean, you had in terms of, you know, contextually speaking, one of the best pots of money where you were. You won't have that for who you're going against,
correct,
in this new league. So what's going to be, John? What I think is critical for him is that, and maybe what can help him is, so you know, his knowledge of the G5 and the American. You know, that I would think that's going to help him early on be able to go get some guys that maybe could play at a level that you're finding that those other SEC schools with more money aren't looking at. And maybe, you know, identifying those talents, the ones that you had here. But being able to do that at Arkansas, I think, is going to be important. And then having to coach him up, it still might not move the needle enough because it's the SEC. But maybe that's, you know, his knowledge recruiting at this level is going to help him because, frankly, he's not going to be in on the guys – all the other guys at the SEC, you know, that his peers are going after because he's not going to have the level of investment that most of the other SEC schools do. Unless Arkansas all of a sudden is going to say, oh, yeah, Ryan Satterfield's the guy that's going to take my money. You know, are the Waltons coming on board?
Right.
You know, that's been one of their issues.
Absolutely.
So I don't know that Ryan Satterfield moves that needle.
Yeah, I don't wish any ill will on him at all. I mean, I think he's got a great situation there. He's going to get $33.5 million. No matter what. I mean, that's an amazing feeling. I can only imagine how good that feels. And I'm sure, again, he feels like, hey, I've earned this. I've done a good job at Memphis. Obviously, we feel like it could have been a lot better than it was.
Oh, he's set for life. He can fail here and be like Hugh Freeze and go get a job at a smaller school after that.
Or he can just go back to the NFL.
Based on his success.
Go be a position coach in the NFL
could
again.
Could do that.
I mean, that's his roots, you know. Yeah. He could say, because I think if he flames out at Arkansas, I think it will be tough for him to get another head coaching job in college. But he's got enough friends at the NFL level where he could just go be an offensive line coach in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not as sexy or glamorous. Or, by the way, $34 million, he could do nothing. He could do absolutely nothing. He doesn't have to work again ever a day in the rest of his life. So I think, obviously, for him, it's a big win. And look, for Memphis, opportunity here. You have called it the biggest hire in the history of the program. Obviously, any time Memphis has to make a hire like this, it's super important. But, yeah, the timing of it, it does feel pretty critical that they get it right. No question about that. But, again, Ryan Satterfield took another job. So, that's, you know, you saw a little bit of it. It wasn't a lot, but a little bit. People saying, be careful what you wish for. He took another job, and Memphis has to hire his replacement. So, they didn't fire him. They didn't cut the contract up. They have to make a hire. And I do think that context definitely matters in this situation. So,
keep in mind the person that's coming into this league to be the head coach of Memphis is coming into a league that no longer has Golish, Sumrall,
correct.
Morris.
That's right.
Like, what are we talking about here? It's set up for you to win and to win immediately, you know, and again, you will have an investment level that rivals anything in the American or a group of five. So I it's just the opportunity here for, you know, to be successful here and to flip it into a million-dollar SEC job, it's huge. It's huge. It just makes you so attractive right now. And I think that's what makes it right now the most important hire. Listen, you could talk about the Tubby Smith hire, and we talked about it. At that point, you still had basketball as the front porch. That's changed now. And look how much college athletics has changed just from the time that the Tubby firing, you know, with NIL and everything else, revenue sharing and all that. And so now, yes, with football at the forefront in a building you now control, that's different too. This is the biggest hire ever, especially if realignment comes back up like it might before 2030.
Yeah, absolutely right. By the way, what we're talking about, Will Stein and you know, his potential hire. The thought right now is that he will take the or get the Kentucky job that just opened up.
Yeah, and if you can go straight to it, That's the quicker path.
That's obviously. Exactly right. And it's tougher, but you have more money. Yeah. And
Sumrall and Golish would have wished for something like that if they could have gone straight. They couldn't do that.
That's right.
Stein's looks like he's going to be able to. Possibly.
Yeah, so
and
we'll
he's
see.
From Kentucky, too. Somebody texted me.
Yep. So it would make sense. Now, he may say, I'm not doing that. I'm not coaching at Kentucky, but I doubt it. I think the fact that, you know, he's from there and played there, I think that lines up pretty good. So, look, we'll see. I think, you know, some people have pushed back on some of the names that have been thrown out there. You know, I think part of this is, like, expectations have gotten a little too crazy. Like, it still is a group of five job. So you're limited by that, unfortunately. You're not going to get, like, I don't know who people think they're going to get, but you're not going to get an SEC head coach to come to Memphis. Like, you're not going to get a Power Four coach to come to Memphis. The best you could hope to do is get a lower level, you know, James Madison's coach is going to UCLA, for example, right? So I think, a Conference USA coach, you know, a Sun Belt coach, something along, head coach. Or you get the offensive
power
coordinator.
Four coordinator.
Right. People don't like the names that we've thrown out, though. They, like, you know, on the Daily Memphian, we threw out Jerry Mack and Will Stein and Rashad Samples and Charles Huff and Luis Esposito at Michigan, and we went through all the retreads, and people said the list is garbage. I don't know.
A few commenters on
saying,
the Daily Memphian
it does,
comments
I'm just saying,
list.
It just feels like there is a little bit of, you know, don't go crazy with what you think Memphis is capable of doing here. Like, we got to.
I mean,
keep
if you
it.
Think you're going to get a sitting SEC, yeah, you need to readjust your expectations on this. I do think, though, it's as attractive an opening as there is right now, especially if Kentucky is closing up.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Power Four jobs are closing,
right,
then it's going to be the most attractive job out there. I think more so than Tulane, maybe more than South Florida, although, you know, The Athletic would tell you South Florida's got the most investment in the American. Again, this is a. You're talking about a huge opportunity for a future Power Four head coach, so long as you do a halfway decent job here. Ryan Silverfield didn't even have to make a conference championship to get a job in the SEC. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
That's a gold mine as far as I'm concerned.
One name that was thrown out to me by someone who's familiar with the job is Homan Wiggins, who is the co-offensive coordinator at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at Memphis as the wide receivers coach here under Justin Fuente. I believe he followed him to Virginia Tech as well. And then he was at Alabama as a wide receiver coach and associate head coach. I don't think you can go wrong there. I mean, obviously, I'd need to know a little bit more about what he would want to do because he's never been a head coach. But, I mean, that's the same idea, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about. He's 45 years old. He's been here at a very successful time, mind you, for the University of Memphis when they were winning a lot of games under Fuente and a much harder time to do it.
Yep.
He would be on my list for sure. He'd be an interview candidate. I don't know, you know. I guess I would ask you. You're on the committee. What is the most important thing to you in the next coach? What like what are you prioritizing over anything else?
That he's been a good steward of resources. That I need to see what you've done with what you've had because that's the most important thing. That is where Ryan failed. You gave Ryan more than Fuente and Norvell had.
Yep.
And you got less. And so for those that have, again, shown to be good stewards of what they've got, those are the people that's what's most important. More so than a high profile, you know, some high octane offense going to score 50. Of course I want that, right? That helps sell tickets. More so than what he's going to say in the press conference. John, I think you're right, too, about accessibility and selling the program. That's part of the job, but it's not number one. For me, nor do I think it should be. It should be, here's our level of investment. Who's going to take it and get us into the college football playoff and have us competing for that every single year by winning the American, being in contention. What Tulane's been doing, we need to do it, and we need to do it better. So what's your plan? That's how I would go
Show
me what you've done what you've had.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot, you know, especially if you're a head coach, you know, like a Jerry Mack or a Charles Huff, especially when we know you haven't had resources. Right. And you've still crushed
that
it.
That tells me something.
Yeah, like you know, you feel like somebody that and I think that's the hard part is like when you're an offensive coordinator or even like if you want to say defensive coordinator, I don't want to hire a defensive minded coach in college football, but I you know they do exist. it's hard to know how much resources you personally had.
100%.
Your school had it, and your head coach had it, but were you really responsible? How many decisions were you really responsible for? How much did the coach lean on you? How much did the coach trust you? Things like that. And I think, you know, your mileage may vary in those answers, right? Some of the OCs that we're mentioning and talking about, you know, the mileage may vary. Like, for example, a co-offensive coordinator, you know, he may not have as many responsibilities or duties as a Charles Huff or a Jerry Mack. And those seem to be, you know, in Dan Mullen, if you want to say, like, top of the top pipe dream type of list, you know. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing that I think if you're Memphis, you want to make sure of.
That's what you can't afford to waste anymore.
Because it's just what you went through with
Silverfield. You got three more years that we know of for sure, unless there's been another deal that we, you know, with FedEx in terms of this NIL, the majority of which, that $5 million, has been given to football.
Yep.
You have to maximize it potentially right now. But, you know, as these 28, 29 talks open up about realignment when the contracts end in 2030, the television contracts, you got to be as high as possible. And so, yes, you know, not doing what we just did, where we're investing, and we're not even an American. That can't happen. And so that's why, you know, what you've done with what you've had is the most important thing, being efficient with it.
Right.
Coaching, you know, because what factors into that, John, you're obviously, whether you're talking about a Huff or any of those guys, good identifier of talent, and then you're coaching it up because you have to when you have less.
Absolutely. So I do think that's, and again, it's hard to necessarily know, but, you know, I think if you're a coach, you can point to, hey, I got this guy, I got that guy, I got this guy, you know, because it is a new environment that you're going to have to operate in with NIL and things like that, you know. So if you can say, hey, I got, you know, I found a future first round pick in the NFL draft and we only paid him $400, you know what I'm saying, things like that.
It's key.
You know, that's the idea here. So I think it's exciting. I think there's a lot of great, I mean, I'm keeping, you know, an open mind is sort of where I'm at with it. I don't want to rule out anybody. I don't want to say, you know, that's definitely not a guy I would hire. I think there's lots of good candidates out there, and that's the exciting part of this, is that no matter what happens next year, Memphis football and Memphis administration is going to be able to say, come to our new stadium. We have a brand new regime. Come support.
That's what I just see it better.
You know?
Because you were such a good opportunity, there are going to be so many talented people who want this job. I just think your odds of hitting are higher than ever before, and particularly, again, when your resource level is higher. And so you've got a level of investment that previous coaches didn't have coming in here. You were taking chances on.
Yep.
Well, I just feel like that opportunity for that better future starts right now.
Yeah.
And the opportunity, the likelihood that you will hit on somebody that's going to get it done and at least get to an American title game.
Right.
Right. Because that's what we said should be the expectation. That's going to. I just feel like there's a really good chance of that. Probably above 50% chance of it.
And you know, I mean, keep in mind back in 2019. Whether it ended up true or not, I mean, there was reports and rumblings that Dan Lanning won.
Lanning,
you know, and this is just in 2019.
Exactly, because of what it had been,
right?
And you still didn't have that level. Have you got more level of investment now?
Yeah, it was like Chip Long, Dan Lanning, Barry Odom, Billy Napier, who ended up at Florida, Will Healy, you know, and then Silverfield was sort of the list of names.
I'm still, I mean, they're obviously going to use a search committee, and I want to see what's in that CFP in terms of those OCs, DCs. You say Stein might be off the board because of Kentucky in the opening, and that's understandable. I want to see everybody else in there because I'm telling you, all of those guys, they're not going to be able to do what Stein did and jump immediately. They're going to have to go the Sumrall, Golish, Silverfield, Morris route. And so I just think a lot of them are going to want to talk to you.
Yep.
I would not put a cap on anything.
Absolutely.
And I'd go look at Dan Mullen's contract.
Yeah.
I would.
So
that's smart.
There you go. Memphis has a football search on its hands. And
fun times.
I don't expect it to drag out. I'll say that. But we'll you know, see if some names and some interest starts trickling out from the national media here.
Well, it basically all started the domino effect because of what Lane Kiffin, you know, decided, and then where the other schools had to go from there. But Lane made it official on Sunday. We found out two things, that he was out and that he wouldn't coach the team in the playoff. Now, he wanted to, and I get him wanting to. And, John, I'll be honest, and I think we touched on this, whether it was a couple of weeks ago or last week, like, I don't blame Ole Miss for saying no. You know, Lane wanted it up to the team. Well, it probably was going to be a good chance with that team who he's close to and is brought in. They were going to say yes. School wouldn't let him, you know, let it come down to a vote by the team.
Yep.
I think it is the right thing because, again, yes, it's a great run. It's historic. Ole Miss is in a position it's never been in before. Hell, they may go on have a chance to win a national title here.
Yep.
But I don't want someone who's already at his next place still within my organization.
Yep.
And especially, I mean, didn't we see this sort of about Cal? And to me, that was the part about the exit. I never blamed him for leaving for Kentucky. It was the part about staying in the Memphis coach so you could reach out to the to the Memphis guys to get them to Kentucky. You use that time as Memphis coach. And that's essentially what he could be doing in leading this team to a college football playoff is working on those guys to take them to Ole Miss. I mean, excuse me, take them to LSU. You can't do that if you're Keith Carter. He was in a tough spot. Again, I go back to Lane was allowing his family to be seen at these places.
Yeah.
You know, so Keith's got the donors calling him. What are we doing? This guy's embarrassing us. I think he did the right thing on the deadline. And I think he did the right thing by moving on from Lane. Now, I don't, you know, Golding, what's going to happen there? I got no idea.
Well, how about we listen to his introduction?
Let's hear it.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
This is
going to
be your raw reaction. Yeah. And it's controversial.
Okay.
It's controversial.
When it came right down to it, we have someone that is a leader of men that can lead you guys. And that man is Pete Golding. Pete Golding. About that damn ball, we're gonna play, right? And that's gonna be the same thing in the playoffs. We ain't playing scared, we ain't coaching scared. That ain't what you're used to, that ain't what you want, right? So this is not reinventing the wheel, right? You got it, you got us in a great spot, right? Let's just fine tune that thing, right? Let's go make our run, all right? We straight, but I appreciate you, I love you, I thank you, and I'm excited. Thank y'all.
All right,
thoughts? Did he win the press conference? We straight?
Yeah, I mean, he's,
we ain't playing scared. We ain't coach scared. We straight.
He sounds like Ed because he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, he's Cajun.
That's
yeah.
what you notice. Right. Yes, and dude, I think it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
he didn't have to win the press conference because everybody feels jilted because of what Lane did.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
It's like you know he left you, so you feel like that jilted lover. And let's be real, you know, you look around and Pete still loves you, and
well, yeah.
And you're going to rally behind him.
And it goes to show you, like, it's a really difficult cycle to hire a coach. Like, Ole Miss just felt like, hey, given where we are, given what is available, we want to just rally the troops that we have, and we want to just go in from within. I can't say that's a bad decision given everything. I don't know who I would say they should hire.
Especially
you know?
Because... I don't know. I guess you could still do it this way, but Pete knows the run. Pete's been a part of the run, a run that you're still trying to complete. And maybe it's different if you're not a part of the college football playoff and you're a little bit more willing to move off of this season. But for me, it makes sense because right now it's connected to the greatest football season in Ole Miss history, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what's still ahead of them. And so, you know, having someone – doing it now, I don't know. I still might have said interim. I don't know that you had to, you know, and put an interim tag on it. But I think this was the way they had to go, and they'll probably rally around him.
Yeah. No. And again, if it doesn't work, they'll just let him go, and they'll make another hire. But I just think right now, it's a little bit like when they hired Josh at Memphis. You know, like there wasn't a great candidate out there that would have taken the job, and so they said, you know what, we're just going
to
go from
nobody
within.
Nobody wants to follow Lane.
Yeah, nobody already. Wants to follow Lane, absolutely. So you hire a first-time head coach who's, like, you know, pretty young, 41. Players like him. He's been successful.
Yeah, he sounded young.
So, we're not going to reinvent the wheel here, okay? The Lane thing was a disaster. The entire thing was just a complete debacle. I mean,
well, that's the way he treated it, the way he did it.
Yes, yes. I mean, I figured it would go bad. Yeah. It went even worse than I expected. That whole, you know, arguing about still playing in the playoff, the threatening to take the staff and players, their meeting and trying to figure out who's going to stay back and coach the team.
Yeah. He looked really messy.
His little stupid note there on social media that was a joke, an absolute
made him
joke.
Made to be a victim, which he wasn't.
He confronted the he reporter isn't. Who called, who said the can't turn a hoe into a housewife.
Yeah. Again,
which I guess is fair. You get to do that.
I'm just
that.
Saying, we get awful comfortable in these spots where we're what we call grown men.
Well, I wouldn't have called him a hoe, but in fairness, you know, if you look at his coaching career, yeah,
the,
man, he's
the
a,
point itself. I get it.
He's man. A vagabond.
But if you're going to be willing to say it about a man, you better be willing to say it to his face.
Well, in fairness, he did. That reporter did. He went on that press conference. He said it again.
And I still hate it because Lane took that opportunity. Bro, you're not even the Ole Miss coach anymore. Like, you've already decided
exactly.
the spirit and everything else. You're out of here.
Exactly.
And then you say step into here, using it as protection, a house that you are out of.
That's exactly
That's
right.
the part about it, man.
We're, no, I agree. You know, now, he did say
Lane.
That reporter did say that Lane called him the next day and apologized.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll also say this, like,
he wanted his LeBron confront Stephen A. moment, though. It felt like he knew
did.
He was being watched and he wanted to get that moment in.
Well,
there.
He also had a
and that's,
massive police escort.
That's his ego.
Which also, like, I'd it's easy with anybody will have a battery in their back with 15 police officers behind them supporting them, you know, against this, you know, 170-pound reporter. Come on, dude. Like, what are we talking about here? You're going to go nose to nose with him with your police escort in the back. I don't mind him confronting him, by the way. Like, I'm not, that's not my issue. My issue is, you poking that chest out when you got a bunch of sergeants behind you, aren't you, Lane?
Yeah.
And then
they did kind of push dude away at first before Lane decided to come back. I just saw he saw an opportunity. His ego said, we've got to do it.
Yes.
That's Lane Kiffin, y'all. That for those that thought he was some changed man, or he's still that egomaniac. Look at the way he handled this.
There's no question about that.
He's different in terms of how this would be handled.
And yeah, like,
no, Ole Miss should move on from you.
And guess what?
They helped recycle you and give you this
absolutely.
Reputation, made you the hottest coaching candidate in the world.
Yes, he's going to do the same thing to LSU the first chance he gets. If Alabama opens up, if Texas opens up. If he gets called back to the NFL, he's going to do the same thing to LSU. So enjoy the time you have, but Lane is not yours, LSU. He is not. It's just your turn with Lane. Like, that's just,
you don't think he's gonna go down and win? I thought Brian Kelly was gonna do it just because everybody does.
I think he'll win. I'm just saying, like, it's
freaking
just your turn. But
he's
not gonna retire down there. He's gonna do to them what he's done to everybody else he's ever been with.
Well, I thought he'd look at them as the other jobs you're talking about. That's LSU. You can win national championships there. You either get it done or you don't. But from there, it's NFL or not.
Well,
whether or not you're gonna follow your dad's steps.
You don't think he'll want to take Alabama if it opens up for the Saban thing? Because that's like his biggest mentor right now. He's gone to LSU. I think he's going to want to check off the Alabama box if it opens. That could be
you
wrong.
You are chasing ghosts. You go to Alabama, everybody's going to compare you to Nick Saban forever. So long as you win at LSU and do what Les Miles and what freaking Orgeron did, everybody's going to crown you, and they're going to say, you know what, he did have to leave Ole Miss to do this.
Yeah, you
know,
well, we'll see.
They're going to back that up. And so I think you'd be going to Alabama to chase ghosts.
Yeah.
You've got a job. We've said it. All these things relatively equal now. And folks, you know, yes, Nick was unbelievable at Alabama. But, bro, you can win national championships at LSU. I think he's looking at it the same way.
Yeah.
This is the top of college football.
Yeah.
If I leave, it's going to be for, you know, to go, you know, change my reputation in the NFL where I failed out.
Right.
You know, I've done it in college football. But maybe you're right. Maybe you would take Alabama. I just don't think that's much of a step up. He's just a weird guy.
And
he's a nomad. You said that. He doesn't stay around.
No,
he moves eventually. Ole Miss is a long
time. Some of those
make been.
Sense. But, like, he was only at Tennessee for a year. He was only at USC for, like, 3.5 years. He was only at FAU for, like, 2 years. And now he was at Ole Miss for much longer than I ever thought he would be. But I'll be interested to see just how much easier it is to win at LSU than it is at Ole Miss, because I would argue that he's already doing it at Ole Miss. How much more is he going to do it at LSU? We shall see.
The only reason I would have, if I was Ole Miss, I'd have done Golding the interim. What if you could have had Stein? What if Stein looks at Ole Miss? I know he's from Kentucky, but what if he looks at Ole Miss and what they did for Lane and the investment level? He says, that's better for me than Kentucky, which is a freaking basketball school.
Well, yeah, maybe.
And always will be.
Yeah, maybe they just decided that they just were going to do with it.
Because it's a special set of circumstances where it's best season ever, he's been a big part of that.
Exactly. Like when Memphis hired Silverfield, honestly.
I mean, it's a lot like it.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you'd reached your peak.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's no way we fall if we get somebody that's been a part of the peak.
Yeah.
That's what you told yourself.
Well, that's what Silverfield said. To the University of Memphis.
That's what he told everybody to sell it.
Yeah, he said.
And it was a good pitch because we
all
bought
it. It was a great pitch. But then you look back at interim promotions from within that got the head job and what they ultimately do. The list is not super long.
And again, that's why I think it ultimately works against Tim Kramsey. It works against him that Memphis went inside for Ryan Silverfield. Right? I think Tim Kramsey, good candidate, but not going to be considered in the way that he might because of Memphis' recent history.
Exactly.
Silverfield.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, so you got Summerall to Florida, Lane
right
to LSU finally.
I mean, he did look, I mean, it didn't look great against Navy. I know saying Tim Kramsey right now and, you know, getting a twinkle in anybody's eye. He's been good last 2 years, though.
Yeah. I mean,
that team was checked out.
Obviously, if you ever start a football team, you're hiring Tim Kramsey to coach it.
if you can keep an offense top 20 through two different iterations and through two different quarterbacks, top 15, top 20,
I think he's
that
a good
tells
job.
Me you're a good offense coordinator that can do it a bunch of different ways.
I would not personally.
I'm not saying he's not my one. He's getting an interview based on what he's done, what he's accomplished. I mean, guy's making $1 million as the OC.
No, you're right. Listen, I think he's going to suffer from the Damon Stoudemire syndrome, which is I just have to, you might be a good candidate, but I have to get away from this regime.
1,000%. That's what I'm saying.
And so I do think that when he gets a respect burger at one, he will appreciate that.
No, well, no, Tim's not getting it.
Respect burger, no job.
He's probably going to end up going with Ryan, no? If I'm Ryan, I'm trying to keep him in my knot based on what he's done for
him. I mean, I think he's the coordinator that you take with you.
Yeah, it's not. He's been a good coordinator for Ryan.
You are not going to take Hankins. Hankins will not be brought along.
It fell off, man. Yeah. He had it right around 50, and it was improved and best ever, and it fell off.
One other name that I would throw out there for myself personally is a guy I would interview is Drew Kronick from Navy.
Now, y'all getting up to 20. Who's Drew Kronick of Navy?
We're gonna smoke the Kronick, and he's, of course, the Navy OC. He was at Mercer, led Mercer to the FCS playoffs in 2023 before taking the Navy job. Again, I don't think he's sexy, but I think he's a winner, and I think he's going to do a really good job. And I think if you give, we're talking about resources, this dude is coaching a Navy offense who players make no money except according to Jarvis Greer. And he has got them folks beating Memphis 2 years in a row.
A breaking news, and you probably knew this, the Capital Gazette's reporting that he turned down the UAB job this morning.
He was offered the UAB job. He turned it down. So obviously there are some programs in this conference that have already got their eye on him. I just think he could be a good choice. Now, he's older. He's 51. You know, so I don't think the fan base would be really that excited about it. But I think if you,
what are we going to do when we open up out of that triple option? I know he's brought a new wrinkle to it. We're going to need to know. We're not running the triple option.
I don't think he wants to run the triple option. Right. It's just maybe you don't have a choice.
Right.
And he's opened
the personnel.
Up. He's modernizing in a way that nobody else ever has.
And that's so we'd need to see what he ran at Mercer because that you're going to open it back up.
Absolutely.
Right. And your personnel is going to be better and all that. So we'd need to know the plan.
No, I like
it. But maybe he's like a Kramsey that can win a couple of different ways.
Yeah. So the 2000, let's talk about these 2023 Mercer Bears.
Bro,
they were number 17 in the polls, and I mean they were just fantastic. They were just fantastic. I tell you what, not really a high scoring unit though. I'll say that.
That hurts us.
Yeah, not a high score. They won with defense this year in 2023. They did beat North Alabama. They beat Morehead State. You know, and then of course they play a bunch of slappies in that. Division, but I'm just saying. I mean, he's not number one. He's just a guy that I would think about. We're all throwing out names.
So UAB is not sticking with the man who outcoached Ryan Silverfield.
No, I think the man who outcoached Arkansas each other on his watch.
The stabbing got him. Maybe
Mortensen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Mort.
All he did was beat Memphis. That's it.
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, it's literally all he did. He beat Memphis, and then everybody started stabbing each other, and they never won another game.
I don't mean to laugh.
And the Arkansas coach got outcoached by him.
And the current Arkansas coach,
Kramsey couldn't get it in from the one.
I can't believe he's going at Kramsey.
You going at Kramsey?
Get it in there.
Ryan Silverfield is the head coach.
Ryan, somebody run the ball in.
Our responsibility falls on the head coach. That's the way
it is.
I'm
still upset about that.
That man flipped it into a got blessed.
It didn't matter.
He failed up.
It didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
It is amazing
Navy
to me how
beat
it
his
didn't
ass.
Matter. Navy beat his ass.
No, I'm going to tell you what got
him. UAB beat his ass.
Bracy. Got him these millions.
Because that punched out fumble there at the 2 yard line.
You want to know what the first domino
Arkansas was?
It was Bracy with the miracle.
The punch. You got
people
it.
People forget that.
The miracle force fumble.
People forget that Memphis was getting blasted in that game to start.
Was about to lose.
And then it was a.
They came back.
It was a non PI call that should have been called on Cortez Bram. It was an OPI at the end of the half. Mm. They didn't call it. He got a touchdown, and then, of course, as they were driving there late, Arkansas, on the 2 yard line.
And the field goal.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't get it.
$30 million.
You're sixth in the American, bro. You're not getting this if you didn't beat Arkansas off a miracle with Bracy.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So, Bracy, he better give him some better.
Some breaking news here. This is a tough day for Memphis. The Memphis women's soccer star, Ashley Henderson, is entering the transfer portal.
Damn, that's a tough one. I thought he was going to tell me Brooks Monaghan was
no,
out. That would
not
really,
Brooksy.
That would have really hurt
not
my
Brooksy.
Feelings.
Damn, Ashley's leaving.
Ashley going in that portal. She can make money out of the AAC. Yeah. Go someplace else.
God bless her. Go make some money.
Yeah, it's not often that Brooks loses to kids of the portal, but there you have it. Good for her. Go get your bag. That's what I'd say.
Says a lot about his program.
Go get
too.
Your money.
Yeah, he's kicking ass. Can he coach football?
I think he can coach.
I'd let Brooks Monaghan get a crack at it.
Brad, he coaches football.
Yeah. Foot. F-U.
You gotta understand and have some culture.
I know.
All right? You Americans.
He got 2,000 over there to the football.
You Americans, man. I can't win with you, can't coach with you. I tell you what.
We're going to get us a good football coach.
Yeah.
One that can win the America.
Running off. I want an offense. That's what I desire. I desire an up-tempo, pace setting. Like really fast.
You just want an offense. John wants accessibility, someone who's going to sell the program, and I want somebody that's going to be frugal.
Like super
and be
fast.
Smart with the money.
It's not
necessarily frugal. Yeah. It's just like I need to be able to feel like I'm going to give you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.